said, there's a few things you can count on in Texas. Sweet watermelons, fresh cantaloupe, and Texas cotton root rot. My name is Douglas Wilde, and I'm a cotton farmer from West Texas, Wall area around San Angelo. And I'm going to kind of talk about some of the problems we've seen and maybe control methods for root rot. So you have to excuse my pronunciation of the disease. It gets called a lot of other things in our area that are not allowed to be said in this room. Thymotrochum root rot is also known as Texas cotton root rot. It is an indigenous soil-borne fungus caused by the pathogen Thymotrichinopsis omnivorum. Thymotrochum root rot is found deep in the soils and produces hyphal strands that infest roots and cause rotting of the entire root system. Strands grow through the soil and infect healthy roots nearby. Fungus is known to survive in warm, moist, calcareous soils with high clay content and pH of 7.2 to 8.5. It can survive for long periods of time in the soil, sometimes lying dormant for decades, and can penetrate depths up to 12 feet deep. It is one of the most destructive and difficult to control fungus plant diseases. The fungus has one of the broadest host range of any plant pathogens in Texas, infecting over 2,300 dicot plants. It is a problem since the first pioneers came to Texas. The Texas A&M Plant Pathology Department was founded to find an answer to the root rot problem. The first symptoms of the disease are slight yellowing, bronzing, and wilting of the plants, and this can occur as early as first bloom through full maturity. Second, the plants die suddenly after the wilting symptoms, and leaves remain firmly attached to the plant. Large trees and shrubs, this process will take a little bit slower. Usually the fungus has done extensive damage to the roots by the time they're wilted. When roots are pulled from the soil, root bark is decayed and brownish, and woolly strands of fungus frequently appear on the root surface. Now, these plants can be pulled easily from the soil with little effort, and especially during harvest time, as you can see on the picture on the right, that is the case. When roots are pulled from the soil, root bark is decayed and brownish, and woolly strands of fungus appear on the root surface. The fungus usually generally invades new areas by continually slow growing through the soil from plant to plant. The fungus can survive on soil for many years. Affected areas often appear in circular areas and dead plants in the fields of these infected crops. These areas gradually enlarge as the fungus grows through the soil from plant to plant. Many plants native to the Southwest are susceptible to this fungus. Fungus is most detrimental to cotton and alfalfa. Peanuts and many vegetables are also susceptible, as this pepper patch in the photo. Root rot not only affects production plants, but also landscape shrubs such as pomegranate, grapes, and roses. I'll put on here immune plants. As a farmer, we think these plants are immune. At least they're less susceptible to the disease, such as many of the grains, corn, grain sorghum, wheat, sesame, and grasses. Some of the tolerant plants that still may be host for these fungus are mesquites, strawberries, and prickly pear cactus. You will not notice any damage to these plants, but they are still hosting and feeding the disease. Disease is not present in acidic soils and soils that have over 400 parts per million sodium. Disease symptoms are most likely to occur in high moisture content and high soil temperatures through June to September, when soil temperatures are usually 82 degrees and higher, and high moisture content. Farmers say that it is usually noticed after a heavy August rain that will form a crust and seal the soil and trap the CO2. Any plant stress can cause an increased occurrence. Some of the problems with this disease on our farm, or the most common one, would be the harvesting methods. The most common harvest method in our area is using the cotton stripper. Dead stalks create a problem with harvest since they are uprooted and choke up the harvest row units on these strippers. It is possible to have an infestation of more than 90% of the cotton in a field with this disease, which will not only lower the yield, along with lowering the lint grade. The dead stalks can also cause a problem when planting a rotation following the cotton, such as wheat. Many cotton harvest problems, the main cotton harvest problem is the decreased harvest speed when using cotton stripper. The constant reversing of the row units to remove these dead stalks can also reduce the harvest efficiency by 75%. The stalks can also increase the chance for fire to start in the harvester cleaners. Also, the stalks can cause premature wear on harvest parts such as bats and brushes. As you see in this picture here, this field was attempted to be harvested by a cotton stripper, and you can see the mound of cotton and stalks there where the harvester stopped and had to clean out the row units. And in the background, he just gave up and called in a picking crew. Using a cotton picker, you have no problems with the cotton root rot since the stalks are guided through the units. But cotton stripper, they're so abrasive and aggressive on the stalks, they pull out so easy. And here's another picture of very common sight of the stalks choking up the units. And the newer machines have hydraulic reversers, which make it a little bit more easier to clean out these choked up units and stalks. But the older machines, you will have to get out probably every 5 to 10 feet and manually clean out these row units. So you're talking about at least a 75% reduction on efficiency and harvest time. One way to get by with getting these stalks out of those row units, as you notice on the top of this picture right here where the mouse cursor is, these stalk eaters, a metal strip of fingers here that is put on your bat and brush roll to eat up the stalks as they go in. Many cotton ginners do not like this because you're bringing a lot more stalks to the gin, and they have to worry about that then. And as you can see also in this area, the increased wear on your replaceable parts, such as your bats and brushes, and due to the stalks being left in the row units and the constant moving parts. Here's a picture of harvested cotton. It doesn't look like it's really infested, but looks can be deceiving, especially during harvest time. Some of the crops will have good boll load on the plants, but as you walk through the field, you can just lightly brush the plants and the stalks, and they will just pull right up off the ground. And as you can see, this first row here, that unit was choked up, and all the cotton didn't really ever make it into the basket. It was just knocked onto the ground or pushed onto the ground. There's a yield decrease of up to 60% in yield caused by this disease, and 90% disease infestation in these fields, as you can see those aerial photos that I took in our area this year. See, as it's noted on this aerial picture, this was taken about in the 1st of September, and if you flew into the San Angelo Airport ever in the end of August or 1st of September, you would have noticed the whole country was like this. Here's a picture of diseased and non-diseased area in the same field. As you can see on the diseased area, the disease hit this farm early, and very few fruiting positions have actual bowls, mature bowls on them, and the ones that are here are immature or hardlocked. And then right across the, I just turned right around, you notice probably bale and a half, two bale cotton here. There's also a decrease in grade caused by the harvestable diseased plants. As seen on this example, mica leaf and bark are mainly affected and can cause a significant decrease in loan value. This is one of our farms. I just picked some bales out that were noticeable root rot cotton, and as you can see, the top two, your staple length pretty well stayed the same, but your mica was lower. You did have your light bark remark, and which in turn decreased your loan rate. Some of the disease management, as there is no cure for the root rot yet, And since the research has been extensive since 1888, one of the best management techniques that we have noticed to have some success with is the increase of organic matter in these infested fields, which will increase the competitive microorganisms in the soil. This can be done by rotation, an addition of manure or gin trash, or a system called the hotbed approach. With the hotbed approach, a cotton grain rotation is required. The cotton stalks are left undisturbed or shredded with a flail shredder, and the grain crop is seeded right next to your cotton, and the next cotton, and then after the next cotton season, you will have the cotton and grain rotation, and plant your grain in your same row as your cotton, and after that grain harvest, you will throw up a bed and put an all organic matter right in your seed bed for next year, and that will increase your organic matter in your root zone for your cotton. Research shows that rotation of 3 to 4 years or more with the monocot crop might reduce the incidence up to 60% on cotton in some instances. Use of a moldboard plow to break infested fields 6 to 10 inches deep has markedly reduced the incidence of the disease. The key to deep plowing is plowing when the soil has time to dry the sclerotia, is what many producers say. To reduce root rot, also it is noted maybe to apply fertilizers high in certain forms of nitrogen. When nitrogen is applied, using anhydrous ammonia in a matter to fumigate the soil, research has shown it has reduced the incidence of root rot. Problems with this is obtaining loose enough soil for the adequate infiltration of the anhydrous ammonia. And there was a producer in our area that used anhydrous ammonia 50 pounds one way and 50 pounds the other way, and still had root rot the next. And it, he asked, you know, anhydrous was supposed to cure it. What happened? But he had clods in the field, and anhydrous will not penetrate more than an eighth of an inch in a clod. Acidifying the soil, also with sulfur, is around susceptible trees and shrubs, might help delay or prevent root rot infestation in the areas where this disease is prevalent. This is not a practical solution for cotton, since the cost would be astronomical, and once the pH changed, other fertility imbalances would occur. Noticeable reduction in infestation can be seen on our farms where cotton plants are not stressed. The stress factors may be including watering, over or underwatering, and fertility stress. Some farmers also believe by planting early or planting late and using an early season variety, you might be able to beat the disease. One good thing about planting an early season variety, at least you'll have some mature bulls on these infested plants during harvest. The addition of sodium chloride up to 6,000 pounds per acre was also tried in our area, and the addition of brine water to change the sodium content in the soil, and none of these had positive results. Current research projects that are being looked at is the soil fungicide treatment using stem drench and injection of the fungicide into drip irrigation, some biological management and genetic resistance, determining when the fungus actually attacks these plants. And I think when we determine when the fungus actually attacks the plants, the soil fungicide treatment, that will help with that also. In conclusion, there is no practical control for cotton root rot, and I think we need to, as a producer, look on the emphasis of genetic resistance towards this disease. And I think for right now, using the looking into the fungicide treatment and also increasing the organic matter and microbes in the soil are something we need to focus on. And I want to give a special thanks to Rick Minzmeyer and Dr. Tom Isakey, who has helped us out on our farm looking at some research projects, and Arnold Matheson, a producer in our area that hopefully will never give up on this disease also. So thank you very much. Well, any questions?
Yeah.
I don't recall. I talked to a producer just a few days ago, and he said he plowed it 50, he moldboarded it first, and he came in and knocked that in 50 pounds one way and crossed it the other 50 pounds. And he said there were clods in the field, which in West Texas, that's so, but I think if it was a perfect powdered soil, you could probably get more infiltration with that anhydrous ammonia and do the job. So. Yes, sir. I think Dr. Isaacy will talk about that later. And he's the one doing our research, and we're injecting it through the drip tape to look at some of those. I don't know the amount of level, but I think that was probably their goal, to get up to that 400 parts per million. And didn't help and said the producer told me actually that the Mother Nature put that salt there, and they said it's not for the man to put there. So, and he used the brine water from. Tried a little bit of experiment from leftover oil wells, and then the sodium chlorides. And but it is noted, like in seems to be like where I guess years ago where an ocean bottom was or lake bottom, that's where you don't have the root rot, where the higher sodium content is. This is another producer actually doing that, and I think this is his third or fourth year trying this. I do not know that. I visited with him, Arnold Matheson, and he said that's what his most practical control method is that he's going to focus on using from now on. So, and I guess it's his grain sorghum and cotton rotation. So.
You guys are back. Can you hear these questions okay? No.